Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Thank you. Thank you. Here we go. Getting underway. Dave is back after having cruised. Where'd you cruise? The Caribbean, the Mediterranean, South China Sea? Where'd you go?
We went to the Bahamas. It was our first family vacation in 5 years, Bob.
Wow.
And we went on the Disney cruise.
Yeah.
And, you know, I've got three kids, 6, 4, 2.
Wow.
And all of them loved it. It was a great time. We had a great time.
Is that the big red boat? Is it that one?
It's the big red boat.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
And out of Port Canaveral. And so we had a blast, man. It was so much fun. I put the phone down, Bob.
Nice.
You know, when you go out on international waters.
Yep.
It's the roaming charges go crazy.
Yeah.
So you turn off the phone, and the phone was off for like 4 days. It was great.
Yeah. It's like being a real human being again. Well,
right.
Dave, we welcome you back from your vacation, and in your absence, I know you are constantly reassured that even though there is a partial government shutdown in Washington, here in the Palmetto State, the one thing we can always count on is the SCDOT coming to the fore with their solution for our pothole problem, the pothole blitz. That should do it, right?
Unbelievable. So you want to talk about one of the worst government PR campaigns you've ever seen.
Yeah.
And it's funny, one of the commenters, one of your listeners on our Facebook page commented this morning when we posted the Nerve article about this. They said, you know, if the German Blitz was this bad during World War II, America probably wouldn't have had to been called in over into Europe.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, you know, the DOT and the politicians, the state legislators really have gone to great lengths. They're embarrassing themselves. Nobody believes this Blitz. Nobody believes this is all a facade.
I can't imagine why, since because they're busy having their front ends realigned from all the potholes they're bouncing out of.
Not only are they not fixing a Rosebud, but the ones that they do put this, you know, this facade, this fake blitz stuff on, they're destroyed within a couple of days.
Yeah.
And, you know, I sent you that Nerve article. We posted up on our Facebook page, facebook.com/fanofSC. If you want to go read it, thenerve.org did a great piece. They busted them on this.
Yeah.
There is no pothole blitz. And in fact, they raised the gas tax back in it took effect July 1, 2017, Bob. Since the gas tax hike, yes, they've actually fixed fewer potholes. I mean, it's absurd.
And yet they turn around and claim they have patched. And by the way, I saw some of the TV news video on this, but you know what? They've got a pipe that comes down, and they spray some gravel down into the pothole, and you're right. I mean, 48 hours later, it's gone, and pothole is sitting there laughing at all the vehicles that are bouncing in and out of it.
Well, and again, going back to that Nerve article, you know, they actually put the citizen comments on there, and so many of them, Bob, when you go through them line by line, it's SCDOT came here last week. They turned, now the pothole is a sinkhole.
It's not only
they're not fixing the roads. In some cases, in many cases, they're making things worse.
Yeah.
And so you've got that going on, this PR stunt, this PR bait and switch campaign, the blitz. And then in the state house, what the politicians are doing, while all that's going on, they want to make us believe that they're fixing the roads. They're using our money to fix the roads. They're using all that gas tax money, the hundreds of millions of dollars they've taken from us and through that tax hike. And you've got, you know, two things happening. You've got now they're shoveling money to pet projects. Last week, Leatherman Slush Fund, the state infrastructure bank, announced they're going to take $400 million of our gas tax money, and they're going to funnel it to this 35-mile-per-hour parkway replete with bicycle lanes in Charleston.
Well, wait a minute. That's the one. That's the one that they asked the people in North Charleston about, and they all vehemently said, no, it's a waste of money. We don't want it. It won't accomplish anything.
I mean, and so that was, by the way, a pet project of our disgraced former speaker, criminal Bobby Harrell.
Oh, yeah.
Remember, he's been pushing that for over a decade.
Yeah.
So the Leatherman Slush Fund, now they're going to come out and they're going to try to funnel off $400 million. Then these legislators in Columbia, session started, of course, last week. What was the first bill they introduced, Bob? Was a bill to legalize funneling our gas tax money that's supposed to go to fixing and repairing roads and bridges, and funneling even more of it into Leatherman Slush Fund to the State Infrastructure Bank so they can fund all more of these pet projects and let the lobbyists get even more rich on our dime.
Yeah,
so it's unbelievable. It's bait and switch.
And the arrogance of these guys in Columbia, they don't even care that it's patently obvious on its face with this S5 bill take the gas tax money and use it for other purposes. It's patently obvious they're admitting, hey, suckers, we lied to you about what the gas tax was all about. We're not going to fix bridges. We're not going to fix highways. We're not going to fix potholes. No, we're going to build new highways.
Look, the independent research group, the South Carolina Policy Council, they analyzed this bill, Senate Bill 5, as you said, S5, and it is they should rename it, Bob, to the, you knew we were lying, but now we're just admitting it.
Right, bill. Yeah, here's the proof, yeah.
Right, essentially what they're doing, this bill would legalize funneling our gas tax dollars that they just jacked up by 72% a couple years ago, and funneling it into corrupt Hugh Leatherman's slush fund, the State Infrastructure Bank, which he has control over.
Yep.
And they're going to put it into pet projects, like the parkway in Charleston. Bob, here's the bottom line. We have got to kill this bill. We cannot let the legislature pass this bill again, as you aptly pointed out, this is proof that they lied. We cannot let them pass this bill. So just your listeners need to perk up and do what they always do well, which is let the legislators know that we're not going to put up with this. Text the word on your smartphone. Pull out your smartphone, as we always do. Text the word vote no, VOTENO, vote no, to the number 52886. Vote no to 52886, and that will send a quick message to your state legislators and the governor telling them to kill whatever it takes, kill S5, Senate Bill 5, and don't you dare allow a dime of my gas tax dollars that are supposed to be fixing and repairing roads and bridges to go to Leatherman's slush fund. Don't let a dime go there. Do not let SCDOT transfer a nickel of the money that's supposed to go to road repairs to Leatherman's slush fund for his pet projects and for his lobbyist buddies to get rich on our back.
Now, we know that they are responsive in Columbia. It may not be that apparent, but when they're inundated with text messages and emails and phone calls and all the rest, when they start to feel the heat a little bit, they do respond, and at the very least, they may have second thoughts about voting for this S5 bill. Now, let's assume just for a moment, Dave, that the worst happens and Leatherman, with his sway over the legislature, is able to get this thing passed. What are the chances then that Governor Henry McTaxter would then turn around and issue a veto on this?
Look, we need thousands of messages being pushed into Governor McMaster's inbox. We need to call him.
Mm-hmm.
There's no doubt. But I look, they know that we know. That's the good news, right? That's the good news of all these text messages, emails. They know we know. So much of what they do is undercover in the dark. There's no light shed on these things. But we have to go and contact these. We have to basically threaten them, Bob.
Yeah.
We have to tell them, I'm going to hold you accountable if this gets done. And you can do that. Just text vote no, VOTENO, vote no, to the number 52886. Vote no to 52886 on your smartphone. And Bob, this is about fixing our roads. That's really what it's about.
Yeah, they're awful.
When folks do
they're
this,
just awful.
We have got to force them to do this. They promised they would do it. We knew they were lying. We knew they were going to try to funnel the money to Leatherman's slush fund. We've been saying that for years. but we've got to force them to fix our roads. Otherwise, we're going to have pet projects like the parkway in Charleston with bicycle lanes.
That even the people who live there don't want.
That even the people that live there don't want. Interstate 73 down in Myrtle Beach, right? Yep. This interstate nobody wants. $1 billion boondoggle. These are the things that these guys get rich off of.
Yep.
Their lobbyist friends get rich off of. And that's what they're going to try to push. We've got to hold them accountable in this, Bob. And you can do that. Text vote no to the number 52886, VOTENO, to 52886. And that will send a message to your state politicians telling them you better not let this bill pass. You better do whatever it takes to kill this bill. And you better not let a dime of my gas tax dollars that's supposed to go to repairing roads into corrupt Hugh Leatherman's slush fund, the state infrastructure bank, for pet projects.
Yeah, more money for the Florence Concrete Company. And I'm pretty excited because next week, Dave, is when you and Seth and Ashley Landis from South Carolina Policy Council are going to be joining me for a two-hour special where we're going to talk in more depth and detail about how we got where we are in Columbia.
Yes. No, I'm excited about that. It's you know, look, we talk once a week, but we talk for 15 minutes. It's hard to really dig into the details about all these things and why these things happen.
Right.
And the corruption, Bob. It's really about the corruption. You mentioned Florence Concrete. Look, the most powerful politician in the state, corrupt Hugh Leatherman, owns a concrete company, Bob, that gets DOT contracts. So you wonder why this corruption happens with our gas tax money. You wonder why our roads are crumbling and why we're funding pet projects, but we're not fixing the roads that we drive on every day, like Woodruff Road, you know, Pelhamer. Those roads are in terrible shape because guys like Hugh Leatherman control the process. They make money on these pet projects.
Sure they do. They get rich.
They get rich on our back.
Yeah.
And so we want to discuss that. I'm looking forward to it. Next Thursday at 5 o'clock, we're going to be in studio, myself, Ashley, you. It's going to be a fun time.
Yep, it will be, and I think it'll be informative and educational, and we'll empower people and give them some tools, because I hear all the time, what can I do and how can I do it? We'll have some of those answers. Dave Schwartz with Freedom Action Network of South Carolina. Dave, I will see you next Wednesday, and then I'll see you the day after that for a more extended version, right?
In studio.
Yep,
in
you bet.
What
you
are
bet.
You getting yourself into here?
It should be worth the price of admission. Thank you, Dave. I appreciate it, and we'll see you next week. 18 after 4 here on the Bobby Mack Show. Be right back. Yeah. Walk 47 miles of barbed wire, use a cobra snake for a necktie. Come on, baby. Tell me. Who do you love?
Rock on, brother.
Yeah. So what we do, 4 hours each weekday, Monday through Friday, here on the Bobby Mack Show. Moneypenny grimacing on the other side of the glass as I resort to singing once again. Well, it's a loose description of what I do, singing. In on the text line, 71307. Bobby, I'm going to move to the far end of a gravel or mud road so I can get a smoother ride than our so-called paved roads have. Bobby, could you repeat this hour's keyword, please? I can. Mask, M-A-S-K, mask, and text that to 72881. Also went on the text line, Mr. McLean, I'm absolutely thrilled to hear Mr. Schwartz will be on twice next week. Tickled pink, trust me, sincerely, Hugh L., Florence, South Carolina. Yeah, I'm sure he is. Bobby Ocasio-Cortez, the crazy ex-girlfriend, or crazy eyes girlfriend, she's called that too, needs to have a donkey bray as her sound rather than the horse whinnying as we have for Lisa Page. Bobby, well, the deal to build new roles makes sense. If you can't feed 10 kids, have another. Bobby, do you know what the procedure is to get reimbursed by the state for wheel damage? I'm sick of paying myself. I'm $500 out of pocket in 2 years. Yeah, go to the SCDOT website, and it will be on there. Okay. Bob, can we tell them something other than vote no? I have a few choice names and words for them. Well, you can, But I would post that in an email to them and restrict yourself to just the vote no to 52886. S5 is what we're talking about here. This is the bill where they would take the money that they promised us would be used to repair all those potholes, and now they are diverting for their own pet projects. Bobby, a lot of work done in Mayo, South Carolina on the roads, but whoever they've contracted with has done a terrible job. It was almost better before these so-called repairs. Well, also on the text line, Bob Mueller won't finish his Trump investigation until he has at least one dead body and wasted $100 million. Just look at his Iraq WMD and Postal Service anthrax investigations. And they tried to frame some scientist from Fort Detrick, the Army site there, for the anthrax deal. Bobby, I'm sure old Hugh Weatherman is trying to find another way to roll us at the pumps again, since the price per gallon is now shrinking. Yeah, and I keep hearing trial balloons being floated. You remember the 1 cent tax increase 2-3 years back that we managed to overwhelmingly defeat with more than 60% of the voters saying uh-uh to a penny sales tax increase? I keep hearing trial balloons. They're not going to give up on that. Bob, just think how low gas prices would be without the gas tax increase. Bob, why should a Democrat even show up for any confirmation hearings? They're going to say no until a Democrat is president again. Actually, with Barr, you know, who says, well, I'm not down with these lock-her-up things on Hillary. And Bob Mueller's a great guy. He came to both my daughter's weddings. We've been best friends for 20 years. That's certainly reassuring to me. Barr is going to get Democrats voting for him. Well, this is crazy. Nancy Pelosi, please, there may be a security problem within the walls of our government, but the walls of our country, seemingly she doesn't care about. How stupid are these people? Well, it's politics. Now, Bob, so during an interview with Procter & Gamble, their representative said those who would take issue with the Gillette commercial are insignificant and not relevant. Want to bet? I'm going to phase out all the Procter & Gamble stuff I buy. Wow, they said that? Whoever wrote that statement for Procter & Gamble must have been the same one that wrote Hillary's speech, you know, about the basket of deplorables. Wow. Now, Bobby, somebody from Starbucks or maybe Target needs to tell Gillette what bad publicity can do for you. Now, Bobby, Gillette violated Feringe rule of acquisition number 42. Never kill your customers. It's bad for business. Is that the Star Wars thing, the Feringes?
Star Trek.
Star Trek. That's it. I knew it was one or the other. Bob, I'll never buy anything from Gillette again. Maybe nothing from Procter & Gamble, period. Now, this is interesting. I got home last night. My baby doll, Brenda, said when I was talking about all these stuff, she went and checked the razors that she has to see if there was anything from Gillette in there so she could toss it. The razors that she had, and I've pointed out in the past, my baby doll, Brenda, can step on a dime and tell you if it's heads or tails, all right? So she's not buying the most expensive ones in the shop, okay? But she went and looked at them, and where do they come from? I'm trying to remember. Doesn't matter, because they had the manufacturer of these razors had printed on their label, not made by Gillette or not manufactured by Gillette. And I thought, wow, did they see this coming? Or what? I mean, you know, the day the Gillette ad hit the web, the folks at Dollar Shave Club put out a tweet. I think it was in all caps, too. It said, "Welcome to the club." Yeah. And I imagine they had a lot of takers. 4:30 here on the Bobby Mac Show. Annie's ready in the news center. I'm right back on the other side here on the Hump Day edition on WORD.
What?
Welcome back. Great to have you along. 4:38 now, 22 before 5 here on the Bobby Mac Show, in on the text line. Bobby, we don't need no stinking real ID budges. You treasure the Sierra Madre fans. Remember that one. We don't budges. We don't need no stinking budges. Bobby Mac, look up Procter & Gamble interview with Sally Jesse Raphael. They gave a donation to the Satanic Church. Great. Yeah, that's terrific. Bobby, Dollar Shave Club is awesome. Another texter says, that's why I use Harry's razors. Bob, if a contractor takes your money but doesn't repair your driveway as promised, that's fraud. If Leatherman's Legion forcibly takes your tax money and fails to fix our roads, that is, what, business as usual in Colombia? Would be my answer. Bob, why don't we take $2 billion and buy Mexico? It would be cheaper. I got an email today from Andy. He said, Bob, the most cringeworthy item in Chuck and Nancy's Dog and Pony Show's sophomoric response to the president's recent televised address was the snarky Mexico paying comments. Yeah, I've heard that from Never Trumper, too, and others on the left. As if scoring debate points in a junior high school debate club presentation, both Chuck and Nancy lead with a jab about, well, Trump said Mexico would pay for it, nah, 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 and we got you on that one. Today, Chuck the Schmuck made it sound like the Mexico payment came before the Build the Wall promise, so Trump voters were duped. Putting aside the fact that the new NAFTA deal will more than generate an additional $5 billion per year to the IRS, thus Mexico is paying for a wall. Does that mean if Mexico volunteers $25 billion today for a border wall, that Chuck and Nancy would immediately end the shutdown and build $25 billion worth of steel barricade? And by the way, what the heck does paying for the wall have to do with $5.7 billion requested by Homeland Security, INS, and ICE for border security now? If desperately needed, who cares? Not Democrats. When a natural disaster occurs, like a recent hurricane, do Chuck and Nancy give a rat's rear end about who's paying $100 billion? What's $5.7 billion for a border crisis? Ted Cruz offered the best compromise on this issue, and I love this one too. Take El Chapo. You remember El Chapo? He's the Mexican drug lord. Take El Chapo's $14+ billion in ill-gotten tax-free drug money and pay for the wall. Period. Easy. Done. A Mexican pays with zero tax dollars borrowed from China, and Chuck and Nancy get their border security and precious government back to work. It's a win-win. But from the Democrats, all you hear is crickets on Ted's brilliant compromise solution. Wish Trump would add the Cruz El Chapo bill to his tweets and comments, since massive quantities of illegal drugs are a focal point of the wall's dire need. Andy. Well said, Andy. Appreciate that. To the phones we go, and Lou joins me this afternoon from Campobello. Hi, Lou. How is your hump day?
It's going great, Bobby. I hope yours is as well.
Yes, sir.
Do you know our South Carolina State Infrastructure Bank, is there a set of guidelines that tell what you can do and how it does it, or is it just, say, call Hugh Leatherman?
Yeah, pretty much it's just call Hugh. You know, if you need some money from the State Infrastructure Bank, talk to Hugh about it. And by the way, if you don't go along with all the stuff that Hugh wants to do, any projects, any funding you need in your district, forget it, pal. Not going to happen.
You know, I would say it was just him, but I think a couple years ago when Nikki Haley was governor, and she stepped down. McMaster was then thrust into the governor, and the Senate pro tem is the one that then takes lieutenant governor, correct?
Correct.
So Hugh Leatherman did not want to be the lieutenant governor, so he resigned as Senate pro tem.
Yep.
But then, in a stroke of sheer brilliance, our senators reelected him as Senate pro tem when somebody else filled the lieutenant governor's position.
Correct.
So does that tell you that Hugh Leatherman is to blame, or the other senators that we have from the great state of South Carolina?
But you understand why they turned around and immediately used this tactic, this trick, this strategy, so that Leatherman wouldn't be stripped of all his powers as the president of the Senate in the useless job of being lieutenant governor. They did it out of fear that if they did not, they would face the wrath of Leatherman and his minions one way or the other. As I mentioned, you got a project you want money for in your district to help you get reelected? Well, you better play ball, pal.
Yeah, but he wouldn't wield the same amount of power that he does now as Senate pro tem, right?
No, if he was lieutenant governor, yeah. But once he became just another member of the Senate, you think he didn't have pictures from the Senate office Christmas party? That he said, hey, you guys be sure and make sure that you vote for me to be returned to my powerful position as president pro tempore of the Senate. Otherwise, everything I've got on you comes out. Between that and the threat of no funding for your district, you can understand why these guys all go along to get along.
All I'll say, Bobby, at least Jesse James had the decency to wear a mask.
Yes, he did. And we appreciate it. We knew who he was, but at least he did wear a mask. Thank you, Lou. I appreciate it. Good to have you here today. In on the text line 71307. So Pelosi, in her brilliance, now says no State of the Union address because we are in the partial government shutdown, and the Secret Service and the Capitol Police, they're just stressed and they're overwrought. We're uncertain of the level of safety that could be provided. As if this is not happening on Capitol Hill, right? Well, now DHS, Homeland Security, Secret Service, others are responding to Ms. Pelosi's slur about their ability to provide protection, and they ain't happy. Be right back here on the Bobby Mack Show. It's 4:15 here on Wednesday. Ow! Welcome back. It's 4:50, 10 before 5 o'clock. Politicians, if they're around long enough, will say really stupid things from time to time. And I, as a broadcaster, am not immune from that myself after 56 years of it. Radio and TV, I've certainly had my share of faux pas. But coming up right after the news at 5, I'm going to be joined by Rich Rubino. Rich is a political historian. He's a commentator, and he's got a new book, American Politics on the Rocks, The Bizarre Side of American Politics. And the point of having him on today is that we can look at some of these blunders and maybe laugh off some of the political stress that all of us are undergoing today. Now then, Nancy Pelosi giving as her excuse for telling the president, well, no, I'm sorry, we can't do the State of the Union address as scheduled because with the partial government shutdown, well, the Secret Service and Capitol Police, they're stressed beyond limits, and it would be too much to ask of them. Well, that has prompted a response. Multiple reports indicate that the U.S. Secret Service and Homeland Security have both rejected Speaker Pelosi's stated reason for asking the President of the United States to postpone the State of the Union address. Pelosi blamed a lack of available security due to the ongoing government shutdown. And now both Ms. Nielsen, the Secretary of DHS, and Secret Service say, no, we're perfectly well-equipped to provide our usual level of security for a State of the Union address. Dan Bongino appears on Fox News frequently and has been on this show a number of times as well, also demanded an apology, saying that she was lying about the ability of the Secret Service to be able to provide security. To the phones we go. Henry is next, and to bring in Henry, we cross state lines. Is that a federal offense? And bring in Henry in Hendersonville. Hi, Henry, and welcome.
Yeah, does this make me a northerner then?
No.
Actually, I grew up in Texas. We weren't part of that little kerfluffle.
the late unpleasantness, as Grandma Hughes used to refer to it, right?
You being much more knowledgeable than I on the areas of politics and constitutional things, I'm hoping you could answer a question that came to mind this week.
I'll take a shot at it.
I heard someone discussing, that Justice Ginsburg was absent from arguments for the first time ever, and, then another report that she didn't show up again, that she was at home instead of at the office. And the person talking about it, brought up the fact that the Supreme Court justices serve until they retire or are unable to fulfill the duties of the office.
Right.
So my question is, who makes that determination as to whether they're able to fulfill the duties of the office?
That's a good question. Historically, it has been up to the justice themselves to decide whether their mental faculties are no longer up to the challenge or their physical condition prevents them from being able to perform their duties as well. In the past, it has been up to the justice. Now, I should point out, in RBG's case, in the case of Ruth Bader Ginsburg, while she has not been physically in attendance at the hearings, she has been doing teleconferencing and phone conferencing, and so she has kept in touch with the issues under discussion. But
And that's fine, but I've also, over the last several years, seen multiple pictures of her sleeping on the bench during an argument. I mean, seriously.
Well,
her chin on her chest and her eyes closed in the middle of a court case.
Exactly. Just kind of nodding off.
And I know she's going to determine she's going to stay there and outlast Trump, but if she's totally ineffective and not competent, then she needs to be gone. But that's why I was wondering if anyone else had the authority to make that determination or not.
I would think if it reaches the point where she is physically or mentally incapacitated, and it's pretty obvious that that's her condition, that she's gone and she's not coming back, that at some point someone would prevail on her, and I assume that would be John Roberts, the Chief Justice of the court, to go to that justice and say, hey, look, your time is up.
Yeah, I wonder if I don't suppose he'd have the authority. I don't know if he has the authority to remove someone, because then you get into them just removing them because they don't like their views or something.
Right, which is another danger entirely. I don't believe that with the exception of some illegality that a Supreme Court justice committed, that they could be removed from the court, that they could be impeached from the court. Now, if a justice were to be removed, then that would, you'd have to, same way as impeachment for a president, have to be introduced in the House, have a trial in the Senate.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. To me, with the separation of powers, that makes sense that Congress would have that authority.
Yes, it does. And just points out the brilliance of our founders yet again.
Or we could ask Chuck Schumer, because he seems to be an authority on everything constitutional.
Well, maybe we should ask Beto O'Rourke. he just did a big interview where he was asking, maybe the Constitution is not really the kind of document we need to be following here in 21st century America. Well, good, Beto.
Oh, he said that.
Oh, yeah.
I heard the quote, but I didn't hear who it was.
Yeah, it was Beto. Same guy that tried to influence social media when he did a Facebook Live posting the other day while he was having his teeth cleaned in the dentist chair.
Oh, lovely.
Good thing he wasn't. Yeah, good thing he wasn't at the proctologist office that day.
Although it might be more fitting. marketing.
It may be. Thank you for the call, Henry. Good to hear from you in Hendersonville. As I mentioned, Rich Rubino joins me on this other side. We're going to talk about his new book, and I think it'll be interesting and amusing. Stay tuned. 5 o'clock Follies is on the way next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.